In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Perhaps one of the best known passages in the New Testament, not one that we heard today, but one that is familiar to many, are the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. In the Beatitudes, we hear the words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who mourn." These are words that really stick with us. Thursday this past week, June 2nd, there was a movement around the country to wear orange to remember the victims of gun violence. And our bishop, as part of the Bishops Against Gun Violence, encouraged us to wear orange stoles. Now, I don't own an orange stole, so there you go. When we talk about gun violence, one thing I found is when you fill a room with 100 people, you're going to have 100 different opinions and 100 different solutions. And of course, I have my thoughts on the subject, and some of you will agree with my thoughts, others won't. I'm not talking about solutions, but one thing I think we can agree on is that there is a great tragedy of violence in our country. This past week on Wednesday, there was a shooting at UCLA, and I noticed one thing about it. It has become so common, so routine, it was hardly reported. It got one day's mention in the news. Our country has one mass shooting every single day. There's been a lot of political rhetoric in the news about violence in Mexico. According to a study done in Australia, the United States has 1.5 times the shooting deaths of our neighbor to the south. We have more shooting deaths per capita than the Philippines, Paraguay, and Nicaragua. And you are 10 times more likely to be shot in this country than in Canada. Now, of course, there are countries with much higher rates of violence. That is without a doubt. There are much more dangerous places in the world. And again, I don't want to talk public policy, but what I do want to talk about is how do we as Christians respond to things like this? What is the Christ-like response? Well, we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to be peacemakers and to comfort those who mourn. We have to recognize in all of this violence the tragedy that exists for all of those fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters, spouses, and children who have all lost somebody they love to this kind of violence. That, friends, is the human tragedy. And that is what we as Christians are called to see. We are called to be with the pain of loss of others. And we're called to see that pain. Now today, we heard two stories from Scripture about loss and the pain that comes with it. Now neither of these stories were about violence. Well, at least we don't know about the latter one. We do know the first one was about a natural death. But there are still stories of loss and pain. The first story we heard was from 1 Kings, widowed Zarephath. To give you a little bit of context about what's happening in this story, you back up a little bit. There's been a famine. Everybody's short on food, and Elijah is told by God to go out to this widow in this town of Zarephath and go and ask her for food and water, and she says, "I only have enough grain and oil for me and my son to make one more meal, and then we're going to die." It's a pretty bleak picture. But Elijah says, "Have faith, do what God has asked." And she does, and the grain and the oil last for weeks and weeks and weeks in this first miracle that happens to this widow. But then, just when things were looking up, her son dies. Now we have a similar story in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is walking along. He comes to the town of Nain. And there was a funeral procession, a widow who had lost her only son. And we can presume this one was an adult, and we don't know how he died. But one thing about this story is it's similar to the first. You have grieving. But not only grieving and the mother's pain, but also keep in mind she's a widow. She has no one left to take care of her. And one of these things that we hear in both of these stories, both Elijah and Jesus have compassion. They are stories of compassion. And in both of these stories, each woman's son is brought back to life. Now, when we talk about these kind of miracle stories, one thing I always like to say is a reminder. Both of these young men eventually grew old and they died. Both of them, who were brought back from the dead, eventually went on to meet their Lord. This was just a temporary fix. It really didn't solve ultimately the problem. And further, these stories can be very difficult for anyone who has suffered loss. I mean, you hear a story about a miracle of bringing someone back from the dead, and you say, well, what about my loved one? What about those who I have mourned and lost? Now, we would make a mistake if we thought these stories were really about bringing these guys back. Yes, that's what happened, but that's not the underlying message here. Or we would also make a mistake if we thought the death was somehow this horrible thing that happened to them. No, death is just a natural part of life. After all, our faith is based on the very idea that death is just a step on to the next life. So no, death isn't the worst thing that could have happened to them. Both of these young men were comfortably in the arms of their Lord and then brought back. These stories do tell us a few things. And they tell us a few things about God. First of all, they tell us about God that God is a God of compassion. And in each one of these cases, God was having compassion on these grieving mothers. Now, I've never experienced it, but I can only imagine there is no greater pain than the loss of a child. And on top of it, as I said earlier, if you're a widow in the ancient world, there was no social safety net. This was the only means of survival each of these women had. And so, in each case, they show that God has compassion. And secondly, they show another thing about God, and that is they show about God's power. In our life, in the way we experience things, in the way human beings have always experienced things, death is an absolute. Okay, yes, we go on to our next life. It is a step. And yes, as Christians, we believe in the resurrection. But outside of these few miracle stories, death is what happens. It happens to all of us, and people go on and they don't come back. It is a reality and a certainty of life. And what these stories tell us about God is that God can do the impossible. And a third thing that they tell us is that they are foretellings of another thing. And they foretell the resurrection, both the Christ's resurrection and the ultimate resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection is all about setting, is about undoing that which is bad. It is about setting right everything that is wrong. And that tells us that God ultimately is about making things right. So let's get back to how do we then respond as Christians? Well, we as Christians first and foremost must have faith. That seems like an obvious, a given, right? That's what we're all about. Should go without saying. These stories are primarily about God's power. And they remind us that when things are chaotic and out of control and we are feeling hopeless and powerless, that God is still in charge. And they tell us that God will make things right. Secondly, as Christians, these stories tell us that we too must have compassion. Like Jesus, like Elijah, like the God that we follow, we are called to feel the pain of others. Now, no, we cannot fix other people's problems, no matter how great or small, but we can bring them comfort. And thirdly, as Christians, these tell us that we must pray, but there's always a catch. Pope Francis was quoted as saying, "You pray for the hungry and you go feed them. This is how prayer works." I love that quote. It reminds me much of the epistle to James, chapter 2, that says, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that?" So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Our prayers are important. But prayers are reminders to ourselves. They're responding to God. And when it comes to things like loss and violence, we have a charge. And that charge is not just to pray, but it is to pray and then become an advocate for peace. There is much chaos, much violence, pain, and suffering and loss in our world. And when we experience and when we see these things, it is God who will make things right. And it is us, God's followers, the comforters, and the peacemakers, who God uses to make things right. Amen.